Welcome, Sean. You didn't know if you're going to come listen to me, right? Well, here you are. All right. Well, I want to come to you all in the name of Jesus this morning. There's a few things that has been mentioned this morning already, and Brother John said something that I usually don't share anything that really blows you out of the water or shakes you or whatever. I don't think that's my part. I think that's the Lord's part. That's what we want Jesus to do. But I guess just to start with this morning is, as the years go by and the days come and go and we sort of forget about things, right? Who can tell me today, 9 years ago, what happened? April 13th, 2016.
Did your family move in 9 years
ago? That's right. 9 years ago on this date, we left Ohio and headed south to Tennessee. And I just had to think a little bit, there's a lot of things that have happened already in 9 years' time. So, and then I just remember leaving that place up there. So this morning, I guess one thing that I like to share, just we've heard about it already a couple times this morning already, the faithfulness, the word faith. And I think faith is more like the engine of a Christian than we realize. And when I say that, it's just a little thing, right? But it keeps the Christian going on, keeps him pressing on. And I had to think too this morning, if you think about 9 years of happenings, your mind really is busy. And so yesterday as I was studying and preparing for this morning, I decided to just go back over some of my previous messages that I shared and things that I've shared. And, it's amazing. I don't know if you all keep notes and track things of maybe a diary or something, what happens in your life or whatever. But I found it so interesting as I went back and looked, is a lot of times that I shared, I shared about something to do with faith. And it just struck me again, the faith of our fathers, right? I picked that song this morning because of that. But what about the faith of us today? We see examples of our fathers. We see examples of the Old Testament prophets, Daniel and the lions then, and you can go on through David and Goliath and just all down through the New Old Testament and things like that, and you can see the faith that they had. But that's all past, right? That's all gone. That's in the past. Here we are, 2025, April 13th. Where's my faith? Where's your faith? I was deeply challenged with that again. What is faith? The Bible says, Jesus says, it's as a grain of mustard seed. And a grain of mustard seed is very, very small, right? And so obviously it's a substance. A grain of mustard seed is a substance. So faith should be a substance in our life. And the what comes out of our lives should be a reflection of that faith in our lives. So, because we're all humans and we don't remember everything that we sometimes should, maybe, the way that God designed it. I think it was about 5 years ago I had this a message on faith, and so I went back and I'm going to review some of those and then add to it for today. So hopefully that is okay with y'all. First of all, when we think of faith, we had a beautiful example of that this past week of Brother James, or Mr. James as some people call him. We've known him for 9 years. I didn't know him before that. But I had to just to think, you know, his faithfulness in coming to church here. I know he couldn't drive and all that, but his sister Donna would bring him, and just to see him here, you know, you could almost say faith. He had, in his handicap with his speech and everything, it was sometimes hard to relate to him. But if you've seen his life, there was a seed of faith in there that he connected with the Spirit of God. Just the songs he loved to sing, and just his countenance, it just shone. You know, there might have been some things that he did or he practiced that we might not be agreed with as far as, you know, in his home or whatever. But, and the other thing I had to think about was his simplicity. He wasn't making a big show. He wasn't known by a lot of people, as we all seen in the funeral. You know, there was what, 4 or 5 benches of family, and the rest was church people, and just in a simplicity, you know, here in the country church house here, out here in the country, Grace Christian Fellowship, here James was requested to have his funeral services here, and buried up there in the graveyard, back behind the church here. Not a lot of show, not a lot of pomp, just he went home to be with the Lord. And, you know, that's something that I was blessed with that. Even though he couldn't really talk a lot, his life showed that he believed in Jesus. And I had to think about that too, you know, our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the other thing that my mind, you know, starts growing, going, going, is I had to just again reminded of who's all buried up here in the graveyard. If you have time, walk up there and look sometime. Just look at the ages and the different people that are buried there. And someday it's going to be me and you if we stay here in Cannon County and if we keep attending Grace Christian Fellowship. We'll be put to rest there. But I just had to think, you know, the ones that are buried there. And some of those have been in the last 5 years. So maybe I'm rattling on too much about history here, but anyway, I wanted to preach a little bit on faith. And what comes to your mind is Hebrews 11, right? The faith chapter. Some of you might have memorized that thing. Some of you might have had know everything about faith, Hebrews chapter 11, but that's where I'm going to, Hebrews 11, 12, and 10, I'm going to be in there and out. So if you all want to turn there. As I share different things here, so a number of years ago when I shared a little bit about faith here is The explanation of faith has both an active and a passive sense in the Bible. The former meaning relates to one's loyalty to a person or fidelity to a promise. The latter, confidence in the word or assurance of another. In the Old Testament, the word faith occurs only twice. Deuteronomy 32:20 and Habakkuk 2:4. And the word believe appears less than 30 times. Faith is taught by examples of the servants of God who committed their lives to Him in unwavering trust and obedience. And Daniel would be a perfect example of that. The three Hebrew boys, that would be another perfect example. Their faithfulness. Old Testament faith is never mere assent to a set of doctrines or outward acceptance of the law, but utter confidence in the faithfulness of God and a loving obedience to His will. In the New Testament, faith and belief occur almost 500 times. The New Testament makes the claim that the promised Messiah had come and that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah. To believe on Him meant to become a Christian and was pivoted in the experience of the individual. Jesus offered Himself as the object of faith and made plain that faith in Him was necessary for eternal life. So Jesus is our object of faith, right? We have faith in Jesus Christ. That's putting our faith in an object of something, right? So if we don't have our faith in Jesus Christ, we have our faith in something else. We just all do. You know, you can have faith in yourself, your ability to do something, your gifts God has given you. You can have faith in yourself. You can have faith in your you can have faith in your vehicle. You know it's a dependable vehicle. You have faith in that thing. It'll take you from here to California and back without a problem. You can have faith in your business. You can have faith in, you name it. You can have faith in your gun that it's going to hit this turkey, right? You can have faith in, or a deer or something like that. Or, you put your faith in something. So, Jesus came and died on the cross that we can put our faith in Him. That's the only thing that'll last. And so that's my, if nothing else, if you forget it, if you don't get anything else, let's remember, let's have our faith in Jesus Christ. Because why I believe that is Jesus, man all down through the ages, and just like Mr. James, he's passed on now. How soon will it be till we forget about Him? All through the ages, there are men who have risen up and they've become famous and they've become popular and whatever, and they've passed on and died. Jesus and His Word is the only thing that will live eternally. It'll never pass. It'll never fail its power, lose its power. So why don't we want to put our faith in something that's lasting for eternity? And I just had to think about, as a congregation here too, some of us are getting older. I'm blessed to see the youth growing up, taking on, being born again, embracing that faith in Jesus Christ. Because someday we won't be here. You won't be here either someday, youth. But, and the other thing that I was thinking about, if I can think about it now, is Brother Mo shared something in children's lesson. Maybe it'll come later. It was something about putting your trust or your faith in or confidence in a king or something, maybe something like that, right? But I was just thinking about All the things that we as Grace Christian Fellowship have gone through the last year, 2 years or whatever, 3 years. And Brother Dale's here, and a lot of people look to Brother Dale. A lot of people look up to him. And I've asked him the question already. I said, Brother Dale, are all these people coming just because you're here? Or why are they coming to Grace all of a sudden, all these things? You know, he just grinned a little bit, smiled, and I said, you know, that's good. I mean, Lord's using you, you know. But what if Brother Dale passes on? Where's your faith going to be? Is it going to be in Dale, or is it going to be in Jesus Christ at Grace Christian Fellowship? Because this actually ultimately is not our church. We just meet together here as brothers and sisters, and Jesus should be the center of the church. We should be here because of Him. If we're not here because of that, you know, by time it'll disappear. It'll disperse. All of a sudden it'll be an empty building. So it's what Jesus is doing and everything that keeps us going. And that's because we have our faith in Jesus Christ. So, in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a key verse there. We can't put our faith in something that we don't believe in, right? And here he says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You know, we may be not able to see Jesus in form, in man form here. But, you know, we have his word, and we have all the testimonies of forefathers, elders, different people. Their life has expressed the faith in Jesus Christ that's been real, that makes it real to us. And I think each one of us personally has an experience one time or another that they know that God is real. I just think that, I know that's true. Because, okay, now I want to back up a little bit here, and I think 9 years ago when we got in our vehicles and early in the morning, and we had a caravan coming down, those that remember, it wasn't just one vehicle, it was like four or five, I think, because a couple trailers and everything. I did not know about this day today, 9 years ago. But I had my faith in Jesus Christ that this is what God wants us to do as a family, is to come to Woodbury, Tennessee and be a blessing here and just to help out in the church here and trusting it'll go forward, everything. But, you know, that was a prime example of taking the steering wheel and almost like Abraham, leaving his father's land and going to a country where he knew not of, but God told him to come. He wants to make a great nation out of you. And so, in a sense, and we face that a lot of times in our daily lives. Like we might think, okay, I should do this today, but we don't know the outcome yet. But by faith, we trust this is God's will for me today. And I go about my day and everything. And in the evening, you can look back, and sometimes things don't work out the way you thought. No. Well, let's take it by faith that, well, maybe it's not God's will that we do this. Maybe we should stop, ask God, should we do this? Should we do that? But ultimately, it is going by faith. So now, before we go further, Maybe I shouldn't even do this. I don't know. But I just felt like I'm gonna quickly run over it a little bit. What I wrote down back 5 years ago or whatever it was, 4 years. It was before. So as I was looking at this, it was probably about the time. The last I wrote down here was when Joseph Leeds moved in from Indiana. So that's where it was. So, you know, here we are. There's Joe's and Mervyn's and Albert's and John's are here at Grace Christian Fellowship. And so Faith, Shining Light, they've been coming down for about a year or whatever it was, once a month, or try to come and help and whatever. So they open it up for those that don't know a little bit of the history. Here we go on a history lesson again. They open it up for volunteers to come down here. And so us and Mark Mass were going to come. And then they had a deacon ordination at Shining Light. And Mark Math was chosen. Stephen Martin and Mark Math were in the lot. Mark Mass was chosen. So they stayed there. And then Stevens decided to come on down with us, move down here too. So, we moved here to be with the brothers and sisters here, and by faith, Mose Gingrich family left Berksville, Kentucky, moved here. By faith, Dallas Kaufman family moved in from Arkansas, and Joseph moved from Worthington. And then I also just, by faith, Nehemiah and Mary felt it was God's will for their lives to get married. And then I guess there's a couple more here. So by faith, Phil Mass family moved from Kansas to here. By faith, we had elder ordinations. By faith, Brother John, Brother Stephen took that responsibility. That was God's will for their lives. By faith, Sister Aubrey and Sister Samantha got baptized and became a member here. And I had almost forgotten about that until I saw it here in my notes. I remember now the day they got baptized and everything, but it was by faith they did that. At the time, the rest of their family was faithfully attending too, but they've chosen to go elsewhere. And by faith, we meet together every Sunday for church. That's what we're doing here today, by faith. We're here gathered together to encourage each other. By faith, we pray together Tuesday mornings. By faith, we are pressing to make a difference in the community for the Lord. By faith, we move on and do things in life, trusting in Jesus. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know Him who does. And that is why we can go by faith. And it gives all the examples in the Bible. And for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So that's where that stopped, right? So I think after that, just a brief little history there, then Joseph's moved in, and I believe, maybe I have a little wrong, but Jeriah's, Caleb by himself moved in with Jeriah, or lived with at Jeriah's place, their cousins, and then Jason Hostetler's moved in. And so goes. And just a couple things that happened as I was thinking about that. And February, Dallas and Dexter got killed in an accident. In 2020, and that would have been 5 years ago already. After that, who else did we have with us? We had Grandpa John with us. He passed on. Grandpa Kenny, Carol's dad, he was here for a while. They were taking care of him. He has passed on into eternity. And then Chris and Jafe got married. And Martha and Caleb got married. And Nate and Sue got married. And Reuben and Aubrey got married. And then just this past week, we laid our brother James to rest. That is just a little tiny bit what happened in the last 5 years. I mean, that's a tiny bit. Those are sort of the happenings sometimes, I think, you know, of everything that took place already. So I have this question here. Also, some of the brothers have chosen to move elsewhere. So here today, are we still walking by faith, or are we a little weak in these areas? That's just a challenge that I had as I was pondering about everything and thinking about this. Faithfully walking with Jesus. And I trust, those that are new here, those that have just started visiting, I was just thinking about it. Some of Joe's are here. Albert's aren't here today. John's are here, John and Joe's. You would be here, we would have known sort of 9 years back, but you would have known further back, a little more history of everything. But this little church house here at Grace Christian Fellowship. I've often wondered how big the history book would be. Oh, John and Helen, you've been here years ago. If somebody would write all the things that happened here already. 30-some years? Is that? Am I right? 43 years from the start to now. So, yeah. So I'm just touching a little bit on the last 9 years. And by all means, I am not condemning anyone that isn't here today anymore. Like I was thinking about this, depends on how I share this. It would almost seem like maybe they don't have faith anymore. I do believe they have faith in Jesus, but they've chosen to go elsewhere. And it's not that I'm downplaying them. I'm just trying to, as we're gathered together here, I'm trying to bring encouragement to us that we need to walk by faith. And if we walk by anything else, there's a good chance that it won't last. Because even in the New Testament, all the things that people did by faith, you know, even we heard about Zacchaeus this morning. What made him crawl up in that sycamore tree? Yeah, he was a little fella. He couldn't see through the crowd so good enough. But there was something that drove him. What was it? I think it was a little tiny bit, a little bit seed of faith maybe. I want to see this man. I want to see this, what they call Jesus of Nazareth. Because he knew he was wretched. He knew he was cheating people. I believe his conscience was smitten him. And he heard wonderful things about Jesus of Nazareth. And he was like, I need to see this man. And, you know, if you think a little bit about in society, it probably would have been sort of maybe a little questionable or shameful for a man of that stature and in wherever he was in society to be crawling up a tree. If you think a little bit about that, he didn't care. He was desperate. I think that was a little seed of faith within his heart. He wanted to be up in that tree, and look what happened. Jesus walked underneath and he stopped and he looked up and he said, come on down, let's go to your house. Zacchaeus didn't expect that. But he knew he wanted something. But what did it do? It changed him. It was his faith in this man called Jesus of Nazareth that it completely changed his life. He wanted to give back what he took. He wanted to make right what was wrong. It just made him a different person. And that's what it is. It's the faith in Jesus Christ. Even the there's a whole host of examples that Jesus, you know, the blind men that cried out to Jesus. People said, quiet, 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 let him go. He just cried out the more. He wanted to be healed. And me and Sean were talking about it last night a little bit. The lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she was an unclean person, right? You don't touch. And why would you touch a man like Jesus of Nazareth? But she just touched the hem of his garment. Somehow she got through the crowd and she touched it and she was healed. Amazing. She had faith. She had a tiny bit of faith. She knew if she could touch him, she'd be healed. How is it with me today? How is it with you? What are we facing? Can we by faith press through and touch Jesus? Now let's go on reading a little bit more. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11. I'm going to not take the time to read all that, but just by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, they all took that. You know, it was by faith in Jesus Christ. So, chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I just had to think of a brother Dale. I don't think he minds if we refer to him, what he was sharing about the testimony going out from here. He just shared a little bit about like the testimony that was Brother James here, the funeral, how our testimony here reached the funeral director in Winchester and the ones that dug the grave and, you know, the way they covered him up and everything with the shovels and stuff like that. And then I don't know exactly, I believe it was family sitting here from James. I don't know all the connections that it had there. But what Brother Mervyn shared in the half hour that they were sitting here listening, what can that do? It's our testimony going out. Cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, here we are, Woodbury, Tennessee, here, Grace Christian Fellowship. There's people that see us every day, right? I was just blessed, you know, as I was thinking about this and you know, we have the store over there at Four Corners, and some of them work at the barn shop, and others do carports, and Brother Mose has a greenhouse, and thinking of a tire shop. You know, we intermingle, we interact with society around us. Everybody, they knew who we are, and now I was just blessed with Brother Merlin going to drive truck for Huff and Puff. There goes another witness of us going into the trucking realm over there. You know, not he just, as far as those that don't know, he just works day jobs, like takes a trailer from here to this. They have different lots scattered around here in Tennessee, so he's just doing that. And he's blessed that they were able to give him the freedom to just come and work whenever he can to meet his other schedules. I thought that was a blessing that they'd do that. So there we have another one going into that realm. We're a cloud of witnesses compassed about. We're the lanterns. We have our faith in Jesus Christ, and there's witnesses all around us watching us. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And that's my for myself, you know. There's things in my life that sometimes you think that you've laid it down, you've conquered it and everything, and all of a sudden it rises its ugly head or something. And it's just, let us lay it aside. Let's just completely put our faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the start of our faith, and he's the finisher of our faith. We see that in Mr. James. His life is done on the earth now. Jesus got a hold of him, if I remember right, through a prison ministry. The Whiteville Community Church out there has a prison ministry, and that's how James was introduced to Jesus Christ and gave his life to the Lord there. But let's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And I believe it's just an encouragement to us today, what Jesus Christ went through of giving up his will to shamefully dying on the cross. So he looked at it as a joy. He looked at it as he was looking beyond. Because he, to save mankind, humankind. Because he had to do that so that we can have our faith in Jesus Christ and be saved from the wrath of God. And to be a child of the King. Jesus, you know, the shame that he bore to die on the cross, he just put that all aside and looked at it with joy. But it was a battle for him. We can read that in the Garden of Gethsemane before that, how he had to come to a place to totally surrender the agony that he went through. But he did it for you and me. And I think, you know, my mind just keeps, I'm blessed. James didn't talk much, but his life talked a lot. And I can just see him, you know, singing up there in Glory Land. This life is past. This troubles that he had down here, they're over. Eternity is before him. I believe he's filled with joy. And I don't want to preach him into heaven, but it's just I just think of the responsibility on us that we can speak clearly and we can go about our days and we're not handicapped like he was. Is my life like a shining testimony like James's was? Or is it not? Do I have faith in Jesus Christ? Let's read 11 and 15 too, in chapter 12. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. That was just a great big challenge to me again, was where am I? Where is my heart? Am I following peace with all men and holiness? We're reading through Proverbs right now as a family. And it just over and over and over. The righteous this, the righteous this, the righteous this, the wicked this, the wicked this, the wicked this. And it's just on and on. It's like, you know, holiness and righteousness is what God wants from us. From ourselves, we cannot do it. But it's the grace of God and faith in Jesus Christ that can help us to be that way. And I had to think of verse 13. This is just taken in a literal sense today. It says, make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. And I want to bless whoever here at Grace Christian Fellowship that has helped Brother James all these years. He was lame, right? He couldn't walk like we could. We can walk. But I feel that you've ministered to him. And you that ministering, although he might not have been able to express it, just his faithfulness in being here, wanting to be here, turning the lights on, and just his smile and just his countenance is, I want to bless you all for that. That's more of a reward than you can, that's the reward that you can experience with. But it also, in the spiritual sense, it's for every one of us to be aware of somebody that might be lame or might be hobbling along spiritually or something. Let's do what God can give us to help them. So flipping back to Hebrews 10. We're reading 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's have our faith full assurance. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We have the blessing of a fellowship meal this afternoon. Let's practice that. Let's provoke one another to love and to good works. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe we're doing that already. And then in 35 through 39, and I think I'll probably just close with that then. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. We do have need of patience, right? That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And I just want that to be an encouragement to y'all. Sometimes we're tempted to draw back. Sometimes we're tempted to crawl back into a shell. We lose our confidence. Depends what happens. Depends what turns up. We think, wait a minute. We might question, even come to the point where we question, was this the right thing to do? Was this the thing to do for now? Let's have confidence in Jesus Christ, and let's have our faith increased today that we are walking with the Lord Jesus, and he can direct us and guide us, and he knows what tomorrow holds. We don't. But if we have great confidence in that, he will bless us. And then with that comes righteous living, holiness unto the Lord. And he will bless us more abundantly. So I want that to be an encouragement to y'all. And let's press on. In Jesus' name.